Welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast. In our podcast today, I speak to the man behind the brand that is Mallet Footwear, Mr. Tommy Mallet. Mallet Footwear is one of the fastest growing and most exciting brands in Ireland and the UK. And in our conversation today, Tommy tells us how he made that happen. We speak about his struggles and his successes, his background in reality TV, and how his sights are now firmly set on further international growth and global recognition. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Tommy Mallet, welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Brand Thomas. It's so nice to have you here. Like, but you've been here, like your brand is here.
Yeah.
It's flying.
Yeah, yeah. I've been here a few years. This is the second time I've done something here, but I've been coming here for quite a long time now. It's one of my favourite stores.
It's great.
Yeah.
Tell me about your connection to Dublin then.
So my mum's from Dublin. My mum's from Pier Street.
Okay.
So all of my family are from Dublin.
Okay.
So when building the brand, it was like build England, but straight away we've got to go over to Ireland.
Yeah, we those need to roots get over. Are strong, right?
Yeah. That's where all the roots are from. So yeah. I've got a lot of cousins, a lot of family here. So yeah, my heart's in Dublin.
That's great.
Yeah, so any opportunity we get to get over here, we're here straight away.
Half your family's in Dublin. We have to fire them out the door there.
And do you know what happens though with Dublin, yeah? They say, come and stay at mine. And if you say no, they get offended. So okay. If I stay in a hotel, they get the hump about it.
So they're all here. But look, so did they come in and like keep an eye on things for you and just check how things are merchandise?
No, you know what? We're in quite good hands here, you know? Yeah. I never really have no problems here. Like most retailers, I'm always on the phone having to have problems, but I've got some good connections here.
No,
so we're looked after.
So tell me about your love of footwear then. Do you remember, was there a particular time that you fell in love with a pair of shoes as a kid? Or when do you remember first having a connection to footwear?
Do you know what? It started off with like me being really obsessed with looking clean all the time. And I only had one pair of white trainers and one pair of black trainers. The black ones was for school and the white ones to wear for best.
Yeah.
And when I used to go out, when I got to about 12, 13, I used to come home every night and I used to wash my shoes with like, I used to take my socks off, put warm water in a cup and put some very liquid in it and clean the shoes with one sock.
Tommy.
And then dry them with the other and then bleach the laces so they were spotless. And after that, when I started like getting a job and getting some money, I started getting obsession. So like I would be obsessed with buying shoes. So I'd say from the age of 12 to about 12, I started getting really obsessed collecting.
Okay.
And yeah, it went from then. I remember my mum was always obsessed with shoes as well. Like we used to save, we had like a piggy bank in our kitchen and we thought it was for us. So we used to bring our any change home and put it in there. And I just remember like every 6 months, my mum would get a hammer out and bang, and she'd be dragging us around the corner to a shoe shop to buy herself a pair of boots. So I think it comes quite from my mum's side. But yeah, I've always been obsessed with it. It was one of the best things in my life is
shoes.
That's
so funny. You're like, I can't keep up this cleaning and maintenance. I'll just have to start making them.
I'm just going to have to start making
getting
them.
Getting you every time. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so then how did you start making them? Because look, if I like a dress and I'm fairly obsessed with clothing, and I wanted to get it, I could kind of say, okay, well, I could get someone to make something I want. How do you go about getting footwear made? It's a lot more complicated.
Yeah, I feel like, so what happened was, I got to about 22 and I just started, I was on reality TV and I was doing photo shoots and I tried a pair of shoes on and they was slip-ons. And I loved the shoes. It was unbelievable. There was something about them I wanted to change. And I didn't know where it was. I'd never designed. I couldn't draw.
Yeah.
At the time, I couldn't even read and write. So I was like, I had no education.
Okay.
But I found these shoes. I found out what they was. They was about £600-700. And I was like, it's never going to happen. I never had a penny at that time. So I had met someone at a party a few months before who lived in Istanbul. And I knew there were shoe factories there. So it all started as I wanted to make like a one-off pair of shoes just for myself, which was cheaper, more affordable than I could wear.
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Wow.
So I literally got a sample and then that's it. End up making one of the best brands in the world off of it.
It has grown at an incredible rate. So how did you keep up with that? Because, okay, you say, look, you said by your own admission, you didn't have an education. Now you're running quite a large company with stockists all across the globe, your own flagship store. How did you adapt to that life?
I feel like it might have been a little bit easier for me because I learned on the job instead of being educated in a certain way of doing it.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of mistakes and a lot of passion and hard work.
Mm.
And I've always been that guy that won't give up ever. So when I get my successes and I get the things that people normally go on holiday and celebrate about, it makes me think, all right, how long have I got left and how many more of these can I get? When can I get the next one?
Yeah.
And I've got ADHD, so that obviously plays into a bit of a part of it. Yeah. I've got like a bit of an obsessive personality.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that affects you? Because, you know, when we were, you know, sometimes it can be something that people see as, you know, okay, well, that's a problem. But like, I think it also gives you that drive, right?
100%.
Yeah. So explain to me like how it's benefited you, because I think that's really important for people to know there are such great benefits to
you. Oh, yeah. So like as when I started the brand, and obviously me and my partner, we didn't really have much experience in nothing. It was like all learning. Mm. But I always knew that I had this different thing about me and I never knew where it was.
Mm.
But I just couldn't take no for an answer. Never, ever been able to take no for an answer. Yeah. If I want it, I'm getting it. And it was like, nowadays, it's quite big. People say I'm manifesting and things like that. I've been doing that since I was about 10.
Before you knew you were
before
doing
I even
it.
Knew I was doing it. Yeah. Like, I told my dad what I was going to do when I was 12. I was like, I knew where I was going in my life. I just knew it was going to happen.
Did you tell him about the footwear journey?
Nah,
or
but when I was failing in school, before we knew I had ADHD, my dad used to say, well, you're a class clown. You're not going to be anyone because you can't do anything academically.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't worry about it, I'll be the richest person you've ever met by the time I'm 30. And so that's a bit of a joke me and him have now. But the ADHD, I feel like, has made me different and made me what I am today, because I don't have any limits.
Mm-hmm.
So most people don't start things because they have limits. Mm. And they think, oh, someone would say, oh, you can't do that. And they go, actually, yeah, I can't. Who am I to be able to think I can do that?
Yeah.
But with me, it's always been different. It's always been, if I want it, I'm going to go and get it. And I'll do whatever
not?
It takes. Yeah. So I've got this thing where I've become obsessed with things, and I got obsessed with shoe design, got obsessed with business, I got obsessed with learning foreign currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made this formula up in my head and I've stuck to it. And before I knew it, I had like a big turnover company with stores all around the world, and I only had 4 staff members. My competitors had 150 at the time.
So you had 4 staff members and you're stocked globally?
Globally, yeah. Okay. But now I've obviously got more, but still I'm still not highly staffed. I'm at 23 staff members or something like that.
Wow.
But I handpick people who need the opportunities, and I feel like love the brand.
Because mm-hmm.
if you've got like 23 people who are living and breathing the brand, you only need half the amount of people who are just switched on a little bit.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a good business model. Tell me then, in terms of the people who love the brand, like you've got this huge social media following as well. How closely connected to your followers are you? Like, are they dictating what's coming next for the brand?
No, not really. So the way I do it is I always listen to what people are saying, always on social media, but you got to be careful with social media because there can be a lot of negativity on there. So for me, I spend a lot of time in shopping centres, in department stores, in stores, looking what people are wearing, looking at what people are buying. I talk to all the teams that work in the stores. So I like talking to the people on the shop floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very often you get like an owner of a company coming around talking to the shop people on
the shop floor. No, but it's important.
For me, it's really important because number one, they're the people selling your stuff. And number two, they're the ones that are getting the feedback. So it's all a feedback and what I feel like the vision of the brand needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So like I do make a lot of moves sometimes where maybe I would just discontinue a top seller, which is bringing me in loads of money, but I'll discontinue it because I don't like the way that the brand's going with that no more. I feel like that fashion's done.
Okay.
So I'll just drop it.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of brands do things like that, but it's a thing that I've really learned over the last few years is you can't be driven by money and success. It needs to be the vision, and nothing can go against the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had top sellers on the shop floor. I ain't told Brand Thomas yet because I just see some out there. The next season, you won't never see ever again.
Okay, well then, but you're also creating something else then. You're creating pieces that people can't get anymore.
Yeah.
But the people who get those, they're the last of them. So
exactly.
You're collectibles.
And that's what I like doing. I like just going with what I want to do. So like I'll discontinue products and I'll bring something new in and then that will become the top seller.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave that for a few years and then I'll move away from it and bring something else. And there's nothing saying in the next few years I won't bring it back.
Okay.
But I don't really, I just sort of do what I feel is right at the time. It's a bit mad when I explain it like this because basically I'm just freestyling all the time.
Hey, it seems to work.
It seems to work.
I love the look on your face. You're like, okay, I'll keep going with this.
It's like, imagine you had your best shoes ever on, you bought the shoes and you feel like these are the shoes I want for life, and then I'll just come along and discontinue them and put something new in there. But it just makes it a bit more exciting, and it tries, because I've been in a place before where you walk in the store and it just looks all the same all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like the worst person for that. because I look at my section sometimes. I used to walk in and it was just all black sneakers. Mm-hmm. So now I'm really conscious of making sure that I design for what I like and what I want to see, okay, the brand direction.
Nobody's telling you what to do, just Tommy. Me. I like the style. Yeah,
yeah, just me. Yeah. So what happens is my missus would come into my showroom and I'd go, do you want any shoes? And if she says no,
I've got to work harder.
And I've been there a few times because it's quite hard to find the fashion in women's. I struggle with it a little bit.
Yeah.
My main focus is menswear at the moment. Okay. And because I use menswear as my main lead, mm-hmm, I'm building stores everywhere all over the world
men's
with it.
Footwear, right?
So what I'll do is I'll open all my stores throughout the world and then I'll introduce the women's, kids and clothing after.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm strongest at men's footwear.
Well, that's the lead, right?
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for like 8 years.
Yeah.
I think Ireland and the UK are a little different. Maybe we're at different steps. But have you noticed a difference in what men want, in the level of interest they have, in how they're looking, in what they need?
Yeah, it changes all the time. So the way I judge it is I go to all different places and look what people are wearing. Mm-hmm. Menswear's gone to a different level. So like one minute is people wearing really expensive stuff, mm-hmm, then people are wearing sportswear. Mm-hmm. At the minute it's sportswear, the majority of menswear and even women's wear.
In that COVID cloud, right?
Yes, like working from home. People went from like, I used to make nighttime shoes. I used to call them nighttime trainers because it was stuff that you could wear to bars and clubs. That part is in fashion, don't really exist no more. It's all about like athleisure. It's all about comfortable. It's all about what you can wear in the office, but then wear out to a beer garden or go to a museum in. It's just got to take all that into consideration. But in fashion now, that's what I'm starting to see. It's so much more active wear out there. Everything's got to be comfortable. It's like everyone's just chilled now.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your background, right, Tommy, we got to know you on the screens in TOWIE. So that brought benefits for sure because, you know, you had this platform, you had this profile. Did it hinder you in any way?
Yeah, of course.
In what way?
I started off and I had 200,000 followers on Instagram. And I remember the launch of Mallet was an absolute flop because of that. Because everyone was like, why would we wear a guy from TOWIE's shoes?
Yeah, okay.
Why does he think he can charge 200 euros for a pair of shoes? Yeah. That took a quite long time to get rid of.
How did you get rid of it?
I feel like when people actually started finding out more about me, more so, and it took that stigma away from what I got from TOWIE.
Mm-hmm.
And when I done a few podcasts and people actually got to know the real me and people actually started thinking, wow, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing. But then also as well, people just started picking up the shoes. I had a lot of like American rappers wearing them, it just started working. And now I feel like I'm proud of every step that I've taken.
That's great.
Like, I don't look back and go, oh, I can't believe I was on a reality show. It's the best thing I've ever done.
It's all a step, right?
Yeah, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It made me what I am today. So I went through everything on that show. It's all documented for me to look back in throughout the years.
I know what happened there.
I've done some mad things in my life and all of it was on telly. And I started with zero to where I am now. So everything along on the line is a complete blessing, if you're considering where I come from.
Well, look, I think it's a great, like, it's all a step along the road. Like, we had Spencer Matthews here, he's got Clean Co upstairs, and like that reality TV background, I think it gives you, I mean, it just, it gives you the profile firstly, but it also gives you the incentive to work harder to kind of, you know, go past the perceptions people might have, which is great. I mean, you're working harder than anyone.
And that's what it done it for me. It was like, I left and done the show and I was like, got to the point where I'm like, well, I'm on the show, I'm starting to get recognised and I've got followers, but I'm not earning nothing and I've got nothing to show from it. And that's where my dad was like, you can't just go on a show and think you're going to be dossing. It's not going to work like that. You need to make sure that you leave it with a, it was like, the TOWIE for me was basically like me going to university. Yeah. It was literally where I started learning everything.
Oh God, any kids listen to this now, they'll all be...
No, they don't want to do that because it's a very, very cutthroat industry. But for me, because I weren't academically taught to go into like any further education, I couldn't do it. For me, I had to go out there and see the world. Mm-hmm. And I went at a 22-year-old kid. I was traveling the world filming. Yeah. I'd never even left Ireland and England. That was it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was like filming in Thailand and things like that. And I started learning a lot about things. Mm-hmm. And that's when I turned around when I was about 23 and I was like, you know what, I really need to do something myself because I want this as my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get it from reality TV. I'm just going to end up with nothing here. So that's where I think my drive actually come from. It was like every day I was fighting to be better.
Yeah. And was there moments, so you say like, okay, it started that, like, you know, rap star started wearing your shoes. Was there one moment that you could say, okay, this is taking off, like, this is, it's going to happen, I'm getting to where I want to be?
No, because I'm nowhere near where I want to be, because I feel the moment I start thinking that, my mind might make me a bit complacent. So I'm a little bit paranoid that I think that sort of stuff. But obviously, I'm in some of the biggest stores in America.
Yeah.
I'm in stores in Canada, Australia, Holland, South Africa. When I see people who don't even know who I am wearing my stuff, which I do all the time, that gives me a bit of a good feeling, because I'm seeing that people are actually buying it.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying not to become complacent. So the main thing I try not to do is sit back and go, wow, I've made it.
Okay, well, I have to ask you then, what will having made it look like?
Securing a future for my family and their family for me now. It's not about money no more.
Okay.
It's all about doing something which can change the lives of other people. That's me now. I've had the, and it's going to sound really mad, me saying it, and it might sound a bit flash, but I had fame young. Like I went onto a show. Mm. People knew I was young. I was 22. Mm-hmm. I got money young. Mm-hmm. I went from nothing to having some money around me, and that none of it ever made me happy. So for me now, it's all about building a legacy and building something which is solid for my family and their family. But along the way as well, it's about giving people opportunity who need it. Going into the office on the weekend, after the weekend, and seeing my people in my office happy to be there and not with Monday blues means the world to me.
That's amazing.
Because growing up, I would have loved something like that. So I'm at the part now where it's more of like, this is such a family thing for me now.
It's great.
It's like, when you wake up in the morning and you're not chasing something like money, and you ain't got no ego towards anything, mm-hmm. it's just about making the best thing you can do every day. That's when I really started really succeeding. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my goal now is just to be a worldwide brand, be wearable for everybody. Don't try and make myself too fashionable so anyone feels like they can't wear it. Mm-hmm. Try as hard as I can to remain affordable. Not to the point where you can go and buy 100 pairs a week, but to the point where if you can work and save and you can still buy a premium product, because that's why I started it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and that's all I care about, really. That's really what my life's run off now. It's being a dad, being a fiancé, and basically maintaining a business, which I said I was going to go and do, and that's it.
Tommy, it's all sounding really good. Thank you so much for telling me about your story. It's so nice to chat to you.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.